Welcome back to the T-Cell Compcast. Today's topic is going to be about giving oral feedback. So I'm going to start with a previous comp question to get the ideas and discussion flowing. So the question is, what strategies might a second language teacher use to provide feedback on oral communication? What factors should the teacher consider when deciding which strategy to use and when to use it? Cite research on the effectiveness of different types of feedback as you describe these factors and provide examples to illustrate your points. So I'm going to go ahead and list the different types of oral feedback that are possible for a teacher to give, kind of explain them a little bit and give an example. So the first is explicit correction. So this is where the learner is told they made an error and a correct reformulation is provided. So for an example, maybe a student says, I've been working at my job since 2 years. And maybe the teacher replies, no, you can't use since there. You should say for 2 years because four goes with time periods. The next type is recast. So this is when the teacher kind of repeats all or part of the student's utterance, but minutes the error with like the correct language. So for an example, a student might say, I walked with my mom yesterday. And the teacher says back, I walked with my mom yesterday. So you see the error was corrected in the teacher's feedback. The next type is clarification request. So this is when the learner is asked to clarify their meaning without any indication of an error. So maybe the student says, her has a dog. And the teacher goes, what? And then the student would repeat, she has a dog, to self-correct. The next is metalinguistic feedback. So these are comments or informations or questions relating to the well-formedness of the learner's utterance. So maybe a student says a sentence like, I hiked yesterday with my husband and we see a bear. And the teacher would point out the error by saying, use the past tense consistently. So the student would hopefully go back and say, I hiked yesterday with my husband and we saw a bear. The next is elicitation. So the learner is prompted, probably by the teacher, to reformulate their utterance. For example, a student said something like, if I won the lottery, I'd buy a big house. And the teacher would say back, if I won the lottery, and then wait for the student to self-correct their response and use the conditional of I would buy a house. And finally, the last one we're going to talk about is repetition. So that's when the teacher repeats the learner's utterance, including any errors. So if a student says something like, he plays soccer, the teacher would say, he plays soccer? And hopefully the student would self-correct with the he plays soccer after the teacher repeats with a kind of like a question, ending in a question tone, intonation. So Momiko in 2017 put it out in the article, Strike While the Error is Hot, Enhancing Learning, Language Learning Through Meaningful Oral Feedback, stated that there are certainly times when it's inappropriate to address students' errors. For example, if it's kind of, it would interrupt the flow of the lesson in a group activity pair work, or maybe indirect direct correlation with students' current language abilities. For an example, I don't have much experience teaching younger students, but if a younger, maybe a low proficiency levels did that error of, if I won the lottery, I buy a big house. And if I try to use like metalinguistic feedback and saying, use the conditional tense there when obviously haven't been exposed explicitly to conditional tense, they'd have no idea what I was talking about. And I think in that instance, maybe just kind of like a recast would be better so that the students hear the correct form when the teacher says it, is I think would be a better idea in that situation. So obviously age and proficiency, of course, determines what type of feedback you give because of if they even already know the error or if they're unaware of it, if they haven't even come across it yet just because of where they at are in their age and proficiency level. Another Another kind of consideration would be one-on-one versus a whole class. Again, like interrupting that flow of the lesson, it's really important to interrupt the whole class. And I would also consider like the objectives and goals of the activity or even the class in general. You know, if the class is aimed to maybe help pass a test, like the TESOL entrance exam test or anything like that, then maybe perhaps it is important to point out the grammatical errors and actually discuss, maybe give like the metalinguistic feedback as to why that was an error. So I think it really depends on different contexts, anxiety level of certain students. Like maybe if you know one particular student's really self-conscious, has low self-esteem, pointing out an error in front of the whole class might not be the best idea. And the motivation of students too, like sometimes, you know, some students are really, really motivated to be corrected every time they speak, while others don't care as much. So I think it boils down to teaching philosophy, knowing individual students, the class goals, and when would be the most appropriate time to provide feedback or not. Ellis in 2009 also talked about the role of feedback by saying that it's conscious raising interaction. Positive feedback is viewed as important because it provides effective support to the learner and fosters motivation to continue learning. I think providing oral feedback is also related to the noticing hypothesis, which was proposed by Richard Schmidt in 1990, which states that learners cannot learn grammatical features of language unless they notice them. So really providing and corrective feedback would point out student errors to and that would help students learn them. And furthermore, students kind of, when they speak orally, they're testing their hypothesis about language, and feedback kind of allows learners to see if their hypotheses are correct or if they're wrong. So if no clear feedback is provided, then learners would never know if they are using correct or incorrect language features. So that's why I think it's important. And just the kind of feedback you get, I think, depends on those factors that I previously talked about. Again, just to reiterate, age, proficiency level, anxiety level, motivation, one-on-one versus the whole class. I also think maybe if this teacher knows students L1 or not, if they can communicate in the L1 or if they can't, also plays a role into what feedback you give to students. So thinking back to my own experience, again, I think when I know students haven't learned a grammatical structure explicitly, I don't really point to it and draw much attention. Maybe I just do a quick recast. And say it correctly, or I might even just skip over it at all. But when I hear a mistake that students should be made aware of, I think I pick some of the other different kinds of feedback depending on the situation. And that would be kind of depending one-on-one versus the whole class and things like that. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode on providing oral feedback, and stay tuned for next episode.